That song. And you know, in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4, it says where the disciples were gathered together, they were assembled together to hear the preaching of the Word of God. It says that the Holy Spirit of God filled their hearts. Filled their hearts. And what did they get as a result of that filling? More boldness. They were more unified. And they were more sacrificial one to another. They gave of what they had one to another. They were sacrificial. More bold, more unified, and more sacrificial. And so you know what I tell the church? You're only going to get that in church. This is your filling station. Yeah. It says there in Acts chapter 4 that he filled the house before he filled the hearts. That means you want to get filled? Come in here. Doesn't say he fills you on the golf course. Amen. Doesn't say he fills you at the grocery store. If they filled the disciples when they were assembled together. Three different times in the book of John, he filled their hearts when they were assembled together. Acts chapter 2, when they were assembled together. Acts chapter 4, when they were assembled together. This is your filling station. Amen. This is where you need to be. If you want to be more bold for the Lord, if you want to be more unified with the saints, and if you want to be more sacrificial. Now, all of that has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach tonight. So, turn to your Bible, if you would, to Mark chapter 6. That was free because my wife prompted it. But boy, again, I get chills when I think about eternity. And I think about these people. I've heard so many testimonies about preachers telling me that they just walked up and talked to this person and within 2 seconds, they were, you know, wanting to trust Christ as their Savior. You know, it's kind of like bumping into a tree and the fruit just falls off of it. You didn't do anything. You didn't plant it. You didn't till it. You didn't water it. You know, all the rest. You didn't prune it. You just basically bumped into the tree and fruit fell right off of it. And there's a lot of people out there that are that close to coming to Christ. Especially during the hard times that we're living in. They're that close. So do them a favor and bump into them. Amen? Let's bump into some people so that we can bring them into the kingdom with us. Amen? Mark chapter 6, I want you to start with me, if you would, in verse 41. This is right where the Lord is feeding the 5,000. And we're going to start in verse 41. It says, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for today. We thank you for the God, what you've done for us already in this meeting, Lord. Let alone what can take place before it ends. Lord, we just invite you. We need you. This service is nothing without you. I pray we'd ask and plead for the Holy Spirit of God to walk up and down the aisles in between the rows, God, and just touch hearts. And God, that we'd hand over all the keys, not just the keys to the doors in our heart that we want you to go into, but even the ones that we'd rather you not go into. Lord, I just pray that we give you full access and full control. Lord, we want you. We need you. We need revival. Help us to, as we heard last night, to humble ourselves with a contrite heart and God, that we can become the people you'd have us to be. I love you so much, Lord, and thank you for these dear people that you've given me the privilege and the honor to be able to minister to. I pray you'd help me to do it faithfully. To the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. And look at verse 44 with me. And it says, and they did eat of the loaves. They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida while he sent away the people. I wonder why he had to constrain them. Constraining is not, hey guys, why don't you get in the ship? That's not constraining. Constraining is, would you guys please get in the ship? Why do you have to constrain them? Imagine what the crowd would be saying to you if you were one of the 12 and you just got done feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Imagine what the people would be saying. Man, you guys are awesome. You guys are the greatest thing since sliced bread. We've never met anybody like you guys. You guys are incredible. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a privilege to be here. You guys are incredible. You think the disciples would want to get in the boat when all that's going on? Everybody likes a good pat on the back. It reminds me of a time when, now this is not a good story about me, okay? So, but this happened years and years and years ago. I was at my house and I needed a cup of coffee. I wanted a cup of coffee. And I opened the coffee cupboard, the cupboard for the coffee cups, and there were none in there. So I knew they had to be in the dishwasher. So I go over to the dishwasher, I open the dishwasher and I get a coffee cup out and I pour myself a cup of coffee. And I'm just about to put the door back up on the dishwasher. I said, you know, I probably could unload that for my wife. Not sure where everything goes, but I could try. And I started to put the things away. And you know, like a good husband, you know, putting everything away. And then I went to close up the dishwasher when I was done. And I go, why should I do that? If I leave the door open, then she'll know what I did. So I'm going to leave the door open. I'm going to go sit down and have my cup of coffee, and she'll be home soon, and she'll see what I did, and I'll be a good husband. So I went over, and I sat down having my cup, and then all of a sudden she calls. She said, I'm on my way home. See you in a few. I say, okay, honey, I'm just enjoying a cup of coffee. And she comes in with her groceries, and she sets them down, goes right past the open dishwasher, doesn't say a word, and goes back out, gets some more groceries, and comes in, and goes right past the dishwasher, puts down the groceries, and turns to the dishwasher, closes the door, and never says a word to me. And I'm sitting there, I said, oh man, I didn't get any credit for that at all. And I'm walking around that day, and I'm saying, wow, that was tough. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, man, I had a hard time finding where all those pots go. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, well, you know, I put all the dishes away. She says, oh, okay, thanks. And I was seeking a pat on the back. And I wanted to enjoy the moment. And she was so busy putting groceries away, I didn't get what I was looking for. But I wonder what these disciples were looking for on that given day. You guys are incredible. You just fed 5,000 men and took up 12 baskets full. You are just like incredible. And the Lord's saying, would you guys get in the ship? Get in the ship now and get to the other side. But I wonder how often we don't do exactly what the Lord would have us to do when He wants us to do it. Because of the fact that maybe others or what have you, other reasons, keep us from obeying immediately. And the Bible says there in verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. I just wonder what the Lord prayed about. You know, when he went to pray, what did he pray about? You know he had to be praying something about these guys. Because they're about to go through a trial that they'd probably never faced before. And he goes to pray. And he know, I'm thankful that the Lord prays. I'm thankful the Holy Spirit prays for us as we ought to. And even though we don't know what to say and we don't know what to ask for, the Holy Spirit says, Lord, he's kind of, you know, not on his game today. And what he really meant to say was this. Isn't that nice that the Holy Spirit does that for us?
Amen. Yeah.
Now look at verse 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. You know, he said, get into the ship and cross. What were they going to cross? It was the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Lake of Gennesaret, which was 50 furlongs across. That's how wide it was. He wanted them to go 50 furlongs, which is about 6 miles across that lake. get in the ship, get to the other side. And in Mark 6:35, as the feeding of the 5,000 is taking place, they say the day was now far spent. It was far spent when they were feeding the 5,000. So let's just assume, because they don't give us an exact time, let's just say it was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Because now it's even, and even was 6 p.m. So that's 3 hours. Let's say assume about three, and it's now six, because it's now even. That's when the day started. All right? 3 hours. And it says they're in the midst of the sea. If it's 6 miles across, in the middle is three. That means 3 miles in 3 hours. Wow. I looked up on Google, because Google knows everything. What is the average speed that a boat is rowed? And it said between 3.5 to 4.6 miles per hour. 3.5 to 4.6. These guys, seasoned fishermen, were rowing 1 mile an hour. 3 miles in 3 hours. That's 1 mile per hour. Versus 3.5 to 4.6 miles per hour is average. And these guys were seasoned fishermen. I mean, they knew how to row. They knew about fishing. They knew about boating. But why were they taking their sweet old time doing what the Lord asked them to do? Because I know that would never happen in your life. And I know that would certainly never happen in my life, that I take my sweet old time doing what God asked me to do. They were rowing slowly. And it's now dark, 6 o'clock at night. And they're only halfway across the lake. I wonder if they were rehearsing the praises they were receiving while on land. Hey, John, what did they tell you? Well, they said I was amazing. And Peter, how about you? No. They said I was amazing. I wonder if they were rehearsing the praise. Even though all the praise and recognition should have gone to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many pats on the back those guys were getting up there on shore. And just rehearsing it. And just taking their sweet old time getting to where the Lord told them to go. 1 mile an hour. Yeah, sure was great, guys. Can't wait for the next time. And you might say, you know, I don't know what the Lord's asked me to do. Obviously, the Lord asked these guys to get into the ship and get to the other side. And he had to constrain them to get in the ship. Get in the ship. Get to the other side. But you might not know what God's asked you to do. Have you ever asked him? Have you ever asked him? You know, God is not up there saying, I know something that you don't know. God wants you to ask him. Ask him. You shall find, seek. You shall find, knock. It shall be opened unto you. Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? So, I used to do this and I used to do that. Well, that's great. What are you doing today? You know, I'm 67 years old. As far as all the other engineers, I know they're all retired. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where I'm allowed to retire from this. I'm supposed to occupy till I come. Keep on going. Keep on pressing. Keep on running. And to run my race right till the end. So I understand what you used to do. What are you doing today? It was, ask him. Ask him. Amen. Like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Ask him. He'll give you something to do. And you know what I like about, you know, Anna, that old, you know, woman that, you know, was a widow of many years, and she just sat in the temple. She couldn't go out street preaching. She couldn't go out door knocking. But you know what she could do? She could pray. Amen. She could fast. And she could speak about the Lord Jesus to everybody that came in. And what did God say? What did the Lord Jesus say about Mary when she anointed his head and his feet? And all the disciples said, that money could have been sold and given to the poor. Leave her alone. She hath done what she could.
Amen.
The question is, are you doing what you can? Are you doing something for the Lord? Has he asked you to do something? Maybe he's asked you to contact that person that used to sit right there. And they're just not here anymore. And you were a friend to them. And they talked to you and they liked you. And they're not here anymore. Maybe a phone call. Hey, let's have lunch this week. Let's grab a cup of coffee. I sure do miss you. You know, not everybody leaves church because they're backslidden. Some people feel like they just don't fit. I remember as a Catholic going into a Bible-believing church for the first time, I did not fit. I had never held a Bible before. I didn't know how to turn to any of the scriptures. I didn't know how to sing their songs. I was afraid to sing their songs. I didn't fit. So it would have been so easy for me to get up and walk out that back door and never come back. Not everybody leaves because they're backslidden. Some people just need to know you care. You know, what would the Lord have you to do? What's he laid on your heart? Who's he asked you to pray for? Who's he asked you to go by and stop by and see him? Who did he ask you this week to invite? I wonder if you invited him. You know, so many times the Lord asks us to do something for him and we just delay, we delay, we delay, we delay. I want you to read more Bible. I want you to spend more time in prayer. I want you to pray for your three pastors as they're preaching. You know, I was sharing with someone that they said about Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of Metropolitan Baptist Church in London, that, you know, people were saying how powerful his preaching was. He goes, that's not me. Don't give that credit to me as to how powerful my preaching is. Right underneath the altar, I've got all these old women praying for me while I'm preaching. Amen. That's where my power comes from. You know, what can you do for the Lord? What would he have you to do? Ask him. Or sometimes we're afraid to ask him because he might tell us something. I wonder what my dad would have said if he had asked me to mow the lawn and I said, I'll do it when I get around to it. And how many times do we say that basically in our actions to the Lord? I'll do it when I get around to it. And he wants us to do what he's asked us to do immediately. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. We need to do what the Lord's asked us to do. Disciples, I want you to get in the ship right now, get to the other side. And not take your sweet time, not at a mile an hour. I want you to row and get there. There's a purpose behind it. In verse 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Why would they be toiling? Folks, these guys were experts on the sea. Many of them were fishermen. And they were having a hard time. Why? The wind was contrary to them. You think the wind was never ever contrary to them before this? Sure it was. But the Lord knew the degree of the wind had to exceed the degree of their will. And he brought a wind that scared even professional fishermen. And that's what the Lord can do to get your attention and to get my attention. What would you have me to do? How often do we find ourselves in horrific storms because we take our sweet old time in obeying him? Not all hardship is the devil's doing or God's doing. What do you mean by that, preacher? Don't pay your electric bill for 3 months and see what happens. Whose fault is that, God's or Satan's? Just you. Just yours. And sometimes we can bring the storms into our life on our own doing, nobody else's. Because we don't do what God's asked us to do when God's asked us to do it. And we find ourselves in the middle of a storm. You know, I preached a message once entitled, "They Missed the Window But Caught the Pain." You know, the window pane. And that was when the children of Israel were supposed to go into the promised land. Oh no, there's giants there. And they look at us and they think we're grasshoppers, you know. And they didn't go. And all of a sudden God said, okay, don't go. Don't go. Oh no, we'll go. No, it's too late. And they found themselves in a lot of pain. They lost that battle. Why? Because they didn't go when God said to go. God opens a window. God opens doors for you, for your good, for His glory. And He expects us to go through them when He opens them, when He tells us to go. We need to go. You know, and I've heard different people say, I was going to go to Bible school, but the Lord's coming back soon. I was going to get married, but the Lord's coming back soon. We were going to have kids, but the Lord's coming back soon. And what's your point? When the Lord does come back, where would you want to be found? Exactly where He told you to be. Even if it was in Bible school. Even if it's in the hospital delivering your firstborn. Whatever the case may be, when the Lord comes back, you should want to be found exactly where He wants you to be. Doing exactly what He wants you to do. The Lord's coming back soon. Don't use that. If anything, use the Lord's coming back soon as a reason to, I better get busy now. Amen. You know, I remember when my dad would tell me to do something. He says, I'm going, you know, I'm taking off. I'll be gone all day. I want you to get this done before I get home. And I'd be watching my watch. I've got 3 hours left until Dad comes home. And then all of a sudden I get a phone call that he's coming home 2 hours early. Whoa, he's coming back. I got to get this stuff done. I'm in trouble. Yeah, he's coming back soon. Where do you want to be found? Amen. What do you want to be found doing when he comes back? And you see him face to face. What do you want the first thing that he says to you to be? I want to hear, well done, Amen. Thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I don't want to be an unfaithful or unprofitable servant. I need to get busy for the Lord. I need to do what He's asking me to do. Amen. You know, in a church this size, I'm sure there's a ton of things that you could do. I bet you there is. I used to pastor. I bet you if you went to any of your pastors, say, I want to do something. Get me involved somehow, some way. I need to do something. So does God want you to do it? Well, I'm not sure right now, but at least let me be busy doing something. You know, if the Lord were to come back before which time I find out what He really wants me to do, I'd rather be doing something. I'd rather be busy doing something for the Lord. Amen. And what a blessing that would be to the others. You know, even the person that vacuums. You say the person that vacuums the church. Somebody does. Somebody cleans this place. Somebody straightens the chairs. Somebody picks up the hymn books. What a blessing it would be for one day you to come in here and say, you see them vacuuming and say, hey, can I help you vacuum? Amen. You think they're going to turn to you and say, I knew you wanted my ministry. You rotten dog, you. They're going to be elated. And even if they don't let you help them with the vacuuming, they'll be skipping and jumping just saying, that person wanted to help me. That's so wonderful. Yeah, there's something you could do. And you know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to do what you can. Amen. He wants you to do what you can. Amen. The Lord's going to appoint tough times that are contrary to us for our own good. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Look at verse 48, the second part of it with me. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. The fourth watch, folks, is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Now, assuming that six p.m. at even, they were in the middle of the sea. That's when the storm came. Assuming between 3 and 6 is the, or from six, I'm sorry, from 3 to 6 is the fourth watch of the night. That means that they were rowing this boat in that storm from 9 to 12 hours. It would have taken them, had they rowed at an average of 3.5 to 4.6 miles an hour, it would have taken them no more than 2 hours to cross that sea. And if they had gotten in the boat when he said at 3, after the feeding of the 5,000, and rowed for 2 hours, they would have gotten to the other side before any storm ever touched them. But instead, they're rowing for 9 to 12 hours in a storm in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night. And we sometimes bring those storms upon ourselves when we don't do what we're asked to do when we're asked to do it. Amen. And each and every one of you, if you're saved here today, you've been bought with a price. Yes, sir. And it says, therefore. Why do you think therefore is therefore? What's it therefore? Therefore is therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He bought you. You've been bought with a price. Amen. And your job is to glorify God. And that means each and every one of you that names the name of Christ has something you can do for him. He would not ask you to glorify him and then not tell you how you could glorify him. To serve the Lord. The Bible says you're the Lord's free man. Did you know that? In Corinthians, it says you're the Lord's apostrophe S. And those nuns taught me apostrophe S means possessive. Possessive. That means you are owned by the Lord. You're a free man, but you're owned by the Lord. You're the Lord's free man. So what are you free to do? Anything within the will of God. That's what you're free to do. You're not free to sin. You're free to do anything in the will of God. You disobey when you sin. You get out of that will of God. It's important, Christian. Title of tonight's message is, what's the rush? What's the rush? What's the big deal? We're just enjoying ourselves. Yeah, now you're in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the sea. And sometimes we bring the storms upon ourselves because we don't obey the Lord. You know, the Bible says there that he would have passed by them. You know, it's just like what it says in Luke 24:28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he, Jesus, made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. You know, I had friends that would say to me, hey, Paulie, you can come over for dinner anytime you want. I go, that's not an invitation. You want to invite me over for dinner, give me a date, give me a time, and I'll be over for dinner. Oh, you're welcome anytime. I want an invitation. I want a date. I want a time. And so does the Lord. He wants you to invite him into your life. Not just for salvation. You know, salvation, yes, we all need salvation. But what about that fellowship? That is what continues us, you know, in good standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, you have a standing and you have a state. Your standing is secure. You're a child of the King, but your state can change. Your fellowship with the Lord can change. I can abide with him or I can abide not with him. You know, so it's important that we make sure that our state stays where it should be with the Lord in the will of God. And it says there, he would have passed by them. You know what he wanted? Invite me in, guys. Ask for my help. Call me by name and invite me into the ship. And that's what he wants from all of us. He wants us to invite him into our lives. God, would you come into my life and let's have fellowship. Lord, I know I'm saved, but let's have that sweet fellowship whereby you can talk to me and I can talk to you. And you can then share with me, what would you have me to do for you? I want to bring you honor and glory. You saved me for your glory. You saved me for your pleasure. You saved me to serve you. God, help me fulfill the purpose for which I'm even here. And ask him. And he'll tell you. He'll tell you.
Amen.
9 to 12 hours. Oh, you know, remember, it's just like Jacob. Remember Jacob wrestling the angel of the Lord? And the angel of the Lord said, let me go. You know, it's daybreak or whatever. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Can you imagine picking up your Bible tomorrow morning or the next morning, whatever, and saying, I'm not putting down this book, Lord, until you give me a nugget. I want a meal. I don't want a daily bread. I want a daily meal.
Amen.
I want you to give me something, God, I can chew on. I'm not going to put it down till you give it to me. Got that, Lord? I'm not putting it down till you give it to me. You know, if we come in here with a thimble, the Lord will fill it. If you come in here with a cup, the Lord will fill it. But you could also come in here with a 55-gallon barrel, and he'll fill that too.
Amen.
Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what's the rush? I mean, seriously, what's the rush? It's only like, I mean, you're going to come back any time now, and people are going to die and go to hell. What is the rush? And Jesus says, you know, Revelation 3:20, a verse we often use for trying to witness to people, get lost people. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. We use that when soul winning. The Lord's standing at the door today and knocking. That verse is written to the Laodicean church. That means it's written to Christians. It's written to God's people. And he's standing at your door, Christian. And knocking.
Amen.
Asking, will you open it for me? He constrained them to get in. And then it says, and he would have gone by them. You know what he wants? He wants you to open the door and invite him in. He wants you to open the door and invite him in. You know, coming to church is great, but listen to me. Coming to church is for you. This is the classroom. Coming to church is for you. The mission field out there is for him. So some people think that they're doing God's service by coming to church. You're doing yourself service. Remember what I said at the very beginning? This is the filling station. This is where you come to get filled up. So you can go out there and do what God's asked you to do. So what's the rush? Ask yourself that question. Look at verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit. And cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Into the midst of the sea, into the midst of the storm, into the midst of the shadows, most of us would be afraid to death. Out there when it's pitch black in the middle of the sea. I mean, did you ever see Jaws? That was not a fun movie. I'm sorry. I was 17 years old. And I was going on a date with this really cute girl. Honey, not as cute as you. Not even close, honey. Don't you worry, baby. But it was our first date. First date with someone. You want to be, you know, you want to be cool, right, guys? I was 17 years old. And I take this girl, and I was crawling under the seat. When that shark was chewing on people, I was crawling under the seat. And I know you say, well, the animation back then was scary. I don't care. Back then, it was scary. And I didn't go swimming again for years and years and years. No, sir. Not me. I appreciate my appendages. Yes, they do. But you know, the Lord has no desire for you to wallow in fear. It says, immediately he talked with them. Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water? And he started to sink and he said, Lord, save me. It says, immediately the Lord stretched forth his hand.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to wallow in fear. He just wants you to invite him in.
Amen.
He wants you to invite him in. God, would you please lead me, guide me? I want to be more in your service. I want to do more for you. I want to help my pastors. I want to help my brethren. I want to help the church. I want to serve you, Lord. What would you have me to do? And then when he tells you, do it. Do it without delay. You don't have to be experiencing an internal storm, though, just because you're in an external storm. Even in the middle of that storm, you know, even as Paul the Apostle said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You know, we are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Yeah, all this is going on around me, but in here everything is just fine. Just fine. That's why Daniel could be so calm in a lion's den. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could be so calm in a burning fiery furnace. That's why Joseph could be so calm in Egypt. You know, on and on and on the stories I could tell. That's why David was so calm going up against Goliath. Everything around me is pretty bad, but everything is just perfect in here. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
Amen.
This is the battleground, Christian.
Amen.
It's 8 inches between your ears. This is the battleground. And the Bible says we're to put on the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Right here. Look at verse 51 with me. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Why? For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Wait a minute. Why did the Lord have to constrain them to get into the ship to begin with? Because all they were thinking about was the miracle of the loaves. And that's probably why they were delaying doing what they were supposed to do, because of the miracle of the loaves. But now all of a sudden, they totally forgot. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. You know why? Here it is. Ready? Fear changes focus. Your fear will change your focus. Fear brings your eyes from here down to here, looking at everything that's going on around you, when your focus is supposed to be looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
That's where your focus is supposed to be. He's your help. He's your help. And the Lord's going to continue to bring the same lesson until it's learned. Did you know that? The Lord's not like school system today, where even if you fail, they push you through. There's no such thing as failing. We don't want to hurt the kid's self-esteem, so there is no F. How come they didn't care about my self-esteem? The Lord's not like that. If you don't pass, you go through it again. And you don't pass again, you go through it again. And he'll continue to bring these lessons into your life until you learn your lesson. Until you pass it. Is that really true? Well, I think so. Let's just turn back two chapters to Mark chapter 4. And turn back to Mark chapter 4. And look with me at verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Just two chapters before, and now just two chapters later, they're in another storm. Well, yeah. Well, you can understand. I mean, you can understand the difference. Well, what's the difference? Well, in this one over here, he's in the ship. So you can understand why he'd calm the sea. Oh, okay, and this one over here, he's only walking on water. The same Jesus that calmed it over here can calm it over here. But yet we panic. Fear changes focus. And we forget, same way they did not consider the miracle of the loaves, we don't consider what he did last month, because now we have a new trial this month. He saved you out of that one, but he surely can't save you out of this one. That one was huge. This one is monstrous. It's the same Jesus. The same Jesus that took care of that can take care of this and can take care of the one next month. And if you don't learn it over here, you're going to go through it again over here. You say, well, that's just one example. Is it? Okay, turn your Bible to Mark chapter 8. And in verse 1, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Over here in Mark chapter 6, he feeds 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. Now over here, he's to feed 4,000 with seven loaves and a few, let's say three fishes. Well, I know he can feed 5,000, but how in the world is he going to feed 4,000? Over here, he had five loaves and two fishes. How in the world is he going to do it with seven loaves and three fishes? You see how stupid we are? And we can look at those disciples and say, man, those guys are dumb. And if we would look at our own lives,
amen.
How many times he's delivered us, how many times he has helped us, how many times he has given us exactly what we needed, right in time of need. The last 3 months, we've been basically back in Nashville. Because no one's going to have you in the Christmas times and all the rest of that to do evangelism. And, you know, finances were really tough. And we just went to the Lord, Lord, help. Help, Lord. We need your help. And I'm not looking to be rich. I just want to be able to pay my bills. And you wouldn't believe this came from here. Brother called up. He sent this. No, church sent this. And this over there. Now, Lord, I just can't believe it. I can't believe what you've done. Now, what am I going to say in 2 more months if I'm in the same situation? Oh, God, what am I going to do? Hey, I took care of you back then. I can take care of you now. But will you do what I've asked you to do now? What's the rush, Lord? What's the rush? Paul, the clock is ticking. And you know, we have this big grandfather clock in our house. And you can hear that thing. Tick, 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 tick. I get up early in the morning. I have Java with Jesus. Tick, tick. And I sit there and I have my first cup of coffee and I just pray, just me and the Lord. But that clock is ticking right next to me. And tick, tick. And every time it ticks, it's 1 second closer to the coming of the Lord. And all I know is it's getting closer and closer and closer. And people that I love are going to die and go to hell forever. People that I love. And what can I do about that? I can do what he's asked me to do now. Do you remember the man born of the palsy? They carried him on a stretcher to the Lord, and they couldn't get into the house because of the press, so many people. So they took him up to the roof, uncovered the roof, and let him down in front of Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Did you ever really contemplate what Jesus said? Son, talking to the guy on the stretcher, thy sins be forgiven thee because of their faith. He pointed to the bearers, the pointed to the ones carrying the stretcher. I'm going to forgive your sins because of their faith. Who's to say that we can't have the faith that can see our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and co-workers and neighbors and friends come to know the Lord? Amen. If our faith was what it should be. Amen. The same thing. The storm over here, that same God that took care of it in Mark 4 can take care of it in Mark 6. The same God that fed 5,000 in Mark 6 can feed 4,000 in Mark 8. Amen. You know, when my kids were little, they used to think Dad could do anything. You know, my son Luke, who's the pastor now, first time we went through a tornado after moving from New York. We're not used to tornadoes in New York. And first time a tornado was coming, sirens were going off and everything. And Luke's saying, where's Dad? I was at church studying. Where's Dad? And he goes, I want Dad to come home. What am I going to do against a tornado? Huh? So, but Dad can do anything. And I feel safe with my dad here. I remember them used to say, they used to tell their friends at church, my dad can beat up your dad. My dad's car is faster than your dad's car. Just, you know, they just think you hung the moon. Remember when you felt that way about the Lord? Yeah. He took care of me over here. He'll take care of me here. He'll take care of me here. And I'm not there yet, but he'll take care of me there. He's my God. And all he expects me to do is what I can when he's asked me to do it. So let's see the whole reason for this. Verse 53, and we'll be wrapping it up. And when they had passed over, back to Mark 6, verse 53, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. Now we see the urgency. You don't always see the urgency when God asks you to do something. You remember in Acts chapter 8, Philip was in Jerusalem at the feast. They were celebrating and all the rest. And the Lord said, you know what he said to him? Head south. For what? Head south. I'll tell you when you get there. Just keep going. And he heads south, down to Ethiopian eunuch and all the rest of it that took place down there. But all he said to him in the middle of that, I want you to go south. No purpose, no final destination. I just want you to head south. Can we just obey the Lord? Can we just do what he says? Can we trust him? He loves us. He's our heavenly Father. We see the urgency. Are you in the midst of a storm tonight because of delaying to do what the Lord has asked you to do? I'm going to finish with this. You're going to be remembered for how you finish. I might have been a pastor for 22 years, might be an evangelist for however long, whatever. But if I fall off into sin and I backslide and I destroy my testimony, they're going to remember me for how I finished. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Okay. Did anybody in here name their son Lot? Why? Bible says in Peter he was a just man. He was a just and righteous man, Bible says. Before he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, he was a just man. Why won't you name your kids Lot? Because he ended up in a cave, drunk, impregnating his two daughters. That's why. Did any of you name your sons Demas? No? Oh, Demas walked with the Apostle Paul. He ministered with Paul. Can you imagine ministering with Paul? He probably got whipped as well. I mean, you're guilty by association. You walk with Paul, you're going to get whipped with Paul. But yet it says in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's how Demas is remembered. You mention the word Demas to any Bible believer, and the first thing you're going to say was, he departed from Paul. But they'll never say he ministered with Paul. Yeah, you're going to be remembered for how you finish. Look at David. You have no problem calling your kids David. No, no one has a problem calling their kids David. Yet he committed two of the most heinous crimes in Scripture. Adultery and had a man murdered. Yeah, you have no problem calling your kids David. Why? Because he finished well. He got up. He repented. A just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again.
Amen.
He's not just because he never falls. It says he falls seven times. He's just because he keeps getting up.
Amen.
You're going to remember it for how you finish. It's not enough to say, I used to do this, or I used to do that, or I used to do this. What are you doing today? Occupy till I come. And none of you would have a problem calling your son Peter. Yet he denied the Lord three times. But he got up. And your day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 was because of Peter. Yeah. So how are you going to finish, Christian? What's your testimony going to be? What's the Lord asked you to do? Well, nothing. He hasn't asked me to do anything yet. Have you asked him? Have you said, Lord, would you abide with me? Would you come in? I hear you knocking. Tonight would be a good night to answer the door. Lord, what would you have me to do? I'll do it. And I'll do it now. I won't delay. I'll do what you're asking me to do. Because I've been bought with a price. Tonight would be a great night to just change your direction. If the Lord's asked you to do something and you've just been putting it off all the way from more time in prayer to more time in your Bible to calling up that person that used to sit right there and just invite them out for a cup of coffee, put your arm around them and say, man, I miss you. It very well could be your faith, like those of the bearer of the man of palsy, could be your faith that sees somebody come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved. But you're going to have to make your own decisions. Not all storms that we go through are the Lord's fault. Sometimes it's our fault. And we need to minimize that and just get back to doing what God has asked us to do. Why don't we all stand? My favorite piano player, if you would, come up and